Amen. It's a privilege tonight to have two people want to join membership here at Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." We know when God saves us, He baptizes us by His Spirit into the universal body of Christ. We also believe, though, that when God does do that, that people should become members of local churches, where they commit themselves to the ministry of that church and start exercising the spiritual gifts that God gave them, so that the whole body of Christ may be built up, encouraged, and strengthened in the faith, and go out and do the works of the ministry. We have two people that have identified themselves with us here and want to take that step. They are believers, and they're going to share their testimonies with you tonight. We're going to ask the membership later on to extend the right hand of fellowship to them, but at this point in time, we're just going to invite John and Ashna Prasad just to come up and share with us how the Lord saved them and why they feel the Lord has led them here, and hear the good news of how God has worked in their lives.
Okay. Hi. Good evening, everyone. Can we just pray for one moment, please? Oh, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that you have given to us, that we could give our testimony here tonight. Oh, Lord, may you receive the honor that you are due. I bring this offering to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been asked to share my testimony, and I'm privileged to do so. My name is Ashna, that's John. I was born into a Muslim home in Guyana, South America. My family are all devout Muslims. John and I immigrated to Canada in 69. We were married in 1967. Our daughter, Natasha, was born 1 year later after we arrived in Canada. It was just the two of us, and we were here, and our daughter was born a year later.
That's with nothing to do.
As we were struggling along as new parents and newcomers to the country, a few years later, our in-laws joined us. We sponsored our family to come over to Canada for this beautiful country that we have, we regard as our own. And my mother-in-law at that point encouraged me. She spoke to me directly because John, even though, I'll let him speak to that, but even though he was brought up in a Christian home, was not a practicing Christian. So my mother-in-law encouraged me to send our daughter to Sunday school, and I had no objection. I thought, okay, well, that's all right. So so at that point, we lived in Oshawa, and she said, call the nearest Baptist church. They'll send a bus for her. So I did, and they did send a bus for her, and she started to attend Calvary Baptist Church, the old Calvary on John Street in Oshawa. And my mother-in-law was a believer, has ever since I knew her, has been a believer in Jesus Christ. And so Natasha started attending that church at a young age. She was probably about 5. Later on, we moved from Oshawa to Whitby, and our son Michael John was born. And again, she urged me to send both children, call the church, they'll send someone for them. And dear couple Bill and Shirley McDonald came to pick them up every Sunday morning. And so I never attended a church before, never knew what church life was about. And I had no objection to sending the children to church, and I know later on why that has happened. And so my mother-in-law had given me a Bible as well, and I started to read the Bible. While the children are going to Sunday school every week, Bill and Shirley picked them up. And then I started reading the Bible, and I started from Genesis, of course. And I got to the story of where Joseph, in captivity, and then was delivered, and then he saved his people from starvation, all by God's plan. And it was like in my head, that the whole thing was like, it just came together. Like, God works these things out, even though there was so much hardship in his life and trials. But the plan, the big plan, was to save his people. And I didn't, and that's when it really dawned on me that there's some merit to this Bible. So, but I was very conflicted because I am a Muslim at that point. And so I was reading the Bible. And I thought, I thought there must be a reason why this is happening. So I prayed and I asked God to just show me the right way, whatever that was, to show me the right way, and whatever it would lead to. Now, remember, I'm a Muslim coming from a Muslim home, a Muslim background, even though in our home, we didn't practice any religion. We never went to church. I never went to mosque. But yet in me, I am a Muslim. I was a Muslim at that point. One of the mornings when Bill and Shirley called, Bill said, oh, could you have the children ready for about 9:30? And I said, yes, but I'll be bringing them to church. And I don't know why I said it. I just said it. And I started to get ready, and John says, where are you going? And I said, I'm taking the children to church. And it was like a shock to me because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to church with the children. So we drove to the church, and Natasha, our daughter, sat next to me in church, and our son went off to the children's church. And she would help me to taught me how to read the hymn book, because I didn't know what lines, how it worked, and went to get up and sit down, and you know, she'd do the little pinch thing to get up and sit down. And so after several weeks of attending church, Pastor Ron Baxter, who was the pastor of the church at the time, he preached a very important sermon in my mind, because he preached about sin, what the word sin meant, and I had no idea that that's what the word sin meant. It would meant missing the mark, God's perfect mark, his mark of perfection, which we could never attain as human beings. And he preached about heaven and hell, and who would go to heaven and who would go to hell. And he preached that the Lord, people who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, would be the ones going to heaven. And otherwise, you're not going to heaven. And he preached that there was no remedy for sin except through shed blood. And he preached that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to shed his blood for the people who would put their faith and trust in him. And that if they accepted Jesus, then heaven would be my eternal home. And that message came out loud and clear. At that point, I was totally confused, because I realized then that even though we think we're all good and we live a good life, we can't be good. We are not good enough, because God is the mark. God is the mark of perfection. And so I kept attending the church and going back and forth. But during that time, I didn't realize that our daughter had accepted Jesus as her personal Savior, and we weren't even aware of it at Sunday school. And I found that out when I was attending the church. Several weeks later, I realized that what I wanted from my life was to go to heaven. That was the bottom line. And even though it may sound, like a shortcut almost, but the bottom line was I did not want to end up in hell. And I wanted that for my family as well. And so I walked up the aisle and accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. And I continued to attend the learning hour at the church, and my faith grew. My belief in the Lord Jesus Christ grew. I led our son, Michael John, to the Lord. And our family was baptized at Faith Baptist Church, all four of us, in 1985. During the Sunday school hour here, we talked about counting the cost of doing something like I did. And there was a cost in my family because of my background. My family was not happy with my decision, obviously. And I remember my mom called and she said to me, "I'll get down on my knees and I'll beg you not to do this." And I said, "I cannot change my mind. I've already decided. I cannot change my mind." So it caused a little bit of a friction and coolness in my family, and I tried to keep it to myself, not to share it too much with John, because some things you have to work out in your own head, and I didn't want to add to my turmoil, and to, even though I knew the Lord, but there's still always this, you know, when you meet the family, what do you do, what do you say? And I must say, though, that my family did not react in the most extreme way. There was some coolness in my family, but nothing that would, that they would shut the door on me or anything like that. And so we continued to visit back and forth and the usual things that families do. But now I must say that God's grace has been sufficient, because I can actually talk to my mom about going to church. And she would say that, "Oh, I didn't call because you were in church on Sunday morning." So I can actually talk to her about that. And witnessing to Muslims is not an easy task. It's almost impossible to witness to Muslim people. But I feel that the way that I talk to my family, the way that I behave, and the lifestyle that we live is a testimony to my family. And I just continue to pray for their salvation. I do know that, you know, if they do not accept Jesus, I will never see them again. And I have told my sisters, two of my sisters, this. I shared with my one sister, I just recently shared with her. But as you can appreciate, when it's your close family, it's hard to do this. And because you don't want to have that conflict in your family all the time. They know what I believe. They know what I do. They know how I love the Lord. They know that I attend church. I go to Sunday school. I do the church functions, and that my life is a testimony to what I believe. And I truly believe that God called me to Himself, that He knew me before the foundation of the world. And it is an awesome thing to think that and to know that, but it's a fearsome thing to really actually have to live that out, because when we know the responsibility that that places on us, and when we realize that, we really have to really take stock every single day of how we behave. And I'm grateful to the Lord, because He has blessed us as a family. We have come to this church, and I must acknowledge our dear friend, Ruth, sorry, all of a sudden left my... we started to come here together, Ruth said to me, she said, "Why don't you come to this church?" And I said, "Well, our daughter attends Wesley Heights Baptist Church. This is where we used to go." And she said a very simple thing to me. She said, "Well, God will take care of her." So she said, and it was like a light bulb went on. And I thought, well, yes, that is true. But, you know, our daughter is single, and she attends the church there. It's very difficult for a young person to be alone in a big church. So we continue to attend the church. And in any case, we've decided now to make this our home church, and we're very happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, I hope I can do what she did. I didn't think that she had a lot of papers there. I thought she'd been done at the computer. I got one little piece of paper just written here. And anyways, I am John. I'm the better half of Ashna. Just to share my testimony, and I think I'm going to do something a little different to the testimonies that you normally hear or what have you. I'd like to just, from my heart, tell you what the Lord has laid on my heart. I don't want to take your pastor's or our pastor's job away, because he can't be replaced. I can tell you the people that we've got a fantastic pastor. Okay? So, and I've seen quite a few. He's the best so far. Well, just to share, first of all, our background, Ashley alluded, we were both born in Guyana, South America. I don't know how many people know where Guyana is, but Guyana is on the northern part of South America. Believe it or not, the square miles. I'm so dated. I don't know nothing but metric. So, in square miles, the size of Guyana is 83,000 square miles, which is larger than England, Scotland, and Wales put together. But having said that, because a lot of it is mountainous, forest, green space, that's why I'm so dark, because of the green space, the sun, you know, affecting me. I don't need the sun to get a suntan. The population, when we left Guyana in 1969, because we were married, like Asha said, in 1967, and for those of you who are calculating, we just celebrated 45 years of marriage. The population, believe it or not, was just over 500,000 people in 83,000 square miles. But that's because people only inhabit the interior, the inland, around the coastlines, not the interior, because there's a lot of jungle. You know, if you have ever heard, or those of you who remember Tarzan, you know, Johnny Vizmala, you know, big mountains and bush and forest, you know what I'm talking about. So anyways, we came to Canada, and like Ashna says, we've got two children, a boy and a girl. Makes me a millionaire. And we've got two grandchildren, a boy and a girl. I keep telling people, I'm a billionaire. I am a billionaire. We are billionaires. Anyway, so that's as much as the background. Oh, just to let you know, when Ashna speaks about Muslims, a lot of you may think that, okay, well, we see these people dress up. I can't stand that, to be quite honest with you. The way they dress up, believe it or not, in Guyana, South America, the Muslims back then, or even now, I believe, don't dress the way you see a lot of Muslims dress. The way the Muslims you see that dress with the what they call the hijab, and you can just barely see their eyes, what have you, those are the Muslims that come from the Middle East, Africa, those sort of places. Now, those Muslims, those are the more fundamental kind of Muslims that you see. Where we've been brought up, and she was a Muslim, her sort of thing is, just to let you know, she's not one of these, she didn't come from one of these, or her family isn't these fanatical, they'll kill you or chop your head off kind of thing, you know, because you're a Muslim. So anyways, but what she said was, yes, her family, because she explained to her parents at the time that, well, you know, she's accepted the Lord, there was some coolness, but they have accepted it, and they know where we stand. We know where they stand.
Your testimony, not mine.
Oh, well, I'm just want to explain to you the difference about her type of Muslim as opposed to the other kind of Muslims that you see around the place, okay? Anyway, so my little thing here that what I like to do before I share my testimony is, I don't know if how many of you were here a couple of weeks ago when Edward Clausen was here. And he spoke, being from South America, Peru, where our pastor's wife is from. I don't know anything about Peru. I don't speak any other language but the language you're hearing from me right now. I don't know anything else. But he mentioned something which really got me. If you recall, he said that he was living in a mud hut, and he only, the bottom line is, he only came to know the Lord because of some missionaries coming there, and, you know, he listened to them preach, what have you. Well, just to share to you, too, in a similar instance, I didn't grow up in a mud hut. I grew up in a house with walls, you know, like a typical cottage, if you want to call, because in Guyana, the climate is tropical, okay? So again, with me, it was only because of missionaries. And I implore you people in this church to really hold on to missions, believe in missions, because not as you heard from Edward Clausen, because he heard, or his family heard from missionaries, he ultimately became a believer, likewise myself. Now, the missionaries coming from Guyana, the missionaries that I speak about is the Presbyterian, we used to call them Canadian Presbyterian missionaries. That's because they came from Canada. So, and I was brought up in a Presbyterian home. Because of missions, my dad was a teacher back in those days. He's now been passed away for a number of years. He became a teacher in a Canadian, what is called a Canadian Presbyterian school. So he became a teacher, and then he finally became, before he passed away, he became the headmaster of this particular school. So that's, I implore you to support our church in a financial matter, in a financial way, that we can send missionaries abroad to preach the word so people like myself can hear what the Lord has done and the Lord is doing in people's lives. So having said that, my testimony is clear and simple. We were living in Whitby at the time, and a number of years ago, this is in the 80s, I gave up my job, nice paying job, company car, that sort of thing. And something I always wanted to do is to be in business for myself. So I did a little bit of research about a year before I gave my resignation. And I decided, for some unknown reason, I want to go into the hardware business, which I did a lot of research. And at that time, back on, I don't know how many of you know or remember, in on Brock Street, it's called, or Brock Street or Brock Road. I never to this day can remember which is which. But anyways, to make it life simple, I call it Highway 12, which it is Highway 12. So there used to be a Canadian Tire store there years ago. It's the original Canadian Tire store in downtown Whitby, and with wooden floors. So for some reason, because we were living in the area, and I love hardware, I know nothing about tools, though. I got a lot of tools, but I know nothing about tools. I don't know why. So I got this interest in the hardware. So I inquired. I did a lot of research. And the bottom line is, I gave my resignation, and we opened up a hardware store, very small hardware store, like the typical Home Hardware across the road here. So it was owned by us. And at that time, our children were like this. I worked, you know, night and day. Ashton would come home from work, and then she would make supper, and then come in the hardware store, and the floor would be clean. And she said, well, like nobody ever came in here. I said, well, we had one or two people, you know. But it was a struggle. But anyways, to make ends meet, we had to be very conservative in the way we did our business. Thank the Lord, really, that the business provided for itself. It paid the bills. It paid the hydro, the heat, the suppliers, whatever. But I did not take, believe it or not, for about 4.5 years we had the store, I did not take one penny out the till. So it was a struggle. So one day, one of my brothers that lived in Brompton, he decided he wanted to paint his house, so he wanted to get some paint. So why wouldn't he buy it from his brother? I mean, give him a good price, you know, which I did. So I decided it was a winter night, And after closing up the store, I decided, and he knew, that I was going to take this paint to my parents, who at the time lived in Scarborough. And so in that way, a sister of mine can pick up the paint from my parents' home and take it to his place where he lived or where he worked in Brampton, because she worked in Mississauga. Anyways, to make a long story short, I decided this one winter night to make a drive to Scarborough to deliver this paint to my parents' home. And it was, believe it or not, I could not see further than my car, the headlights. It was so foggy. It was not a lot of snow on the road, but it was so foggy. Believe you me, I could not see. And I was petrified. I was so petrified, and I started to pray while I was driving. And I'm saying, Lord, take me to my parents' home, you know, through this storm, this fog, what have you. Anyways, I was trembling by the time I got there. When I got to my parents' home, my parents, like Ashna says, my mother was a strong believer. My dad at the time, he was, I'm not sure whether he was a deacon or he was an elder in the church. They used to attend Waverly Baptist Church because they lived sort of downtown Toronto. So when I got there, I'm not sure if they knew that I was coming there. But unknowing to them, their pastor visited them. So I went into the house, and I'm giving my ordeal, how I just barely made it here, and I'm all trembling and really uptight, right? So as the night progressed, I don't know how it happened, but this pastor, his name, I'll never forget his name. His name is Pastor Rush. I don't know if he's, at one time, a number of years recently, he used to be one of the pastors of People's Church in Toronto. So anyways, he led me to the Lord. I accepted the Lord. And it was a surprise to my parents too. But anyways, the most wonderful thing, and I shared this with Pastor Noel and Brother Bob there some time ago, that on the way home, on my return home from Scarborough to Whitby, we were living at the time, it was like night and day. No kidding. So the Lord did answer my prayer. And you know something, folks? The Lord does answer prayer. The Lord, if anybody needs prayer answered, you come and see me. I will pray, we will pray, and not necessarily it will be answered the way you want it to be answered, but the Lord does answer prayer. I am a firm believer of that. Anyway, so that's as far as so I accepted the Lord and came home excited, told Ashna about it, and from then on, to make a long story short, we started to attend, as a family, Faith Baptist Church in Whitby in those days, our children and the two of us, we got baptized, and we took out membership, of course, because that biblically, that's the thing to do, and we did what every church member do, is serve the Lord in the church. Having said that, I'd like to just share with you something about membership. I'm being presumptuous by saying, unfortunately, this place isn't as full as it was this morning. Unfortunately, Pastor, you didn't ask me to give my testimony this morning, because I would have said the same thing. But unfortunately, I can only see it a half full of people here. And you know, and I'm going to just share from Acts chapter 2. I use the New Living Translation, which I don't really like, but I do. It was given to me after my NIV Bible shredded. And anyway, so I did use it. I'm going to just read a little bit here from Acts chapter 2. I'm going to just read quickly from verse 37. This is Peter speaking to a crowd of people. And he said, Peter's words convicted them deeply, and they said to him and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, Each of you must turn from your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, Save yourselves from this generation that has gone astray. And to emphasize these two verses, so what he's saying, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church, about 3,000 in all. They joined with other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. And to me, that's what membership is all about. It doesn't make sense. I refer to, I'm going to use this analogy, which I just thought of, as a matter of fact. A lot of people come to church. A lot of people get baptized, but they're not members. And the way I look at it is, it's like a marriage. You know, like we have been legally married. So Ashna is my wife, and I'm the husband. But it's like coming to church. There's no sense coming to church, and you're not married to the church. If you don't take out membership, then it's like living common law. So if there are people in this group here tonight that are believers and are not members of this church, I urge you to become members of this church. Thank you, and God bless you. Pastor, I didn't mean to take up so much time here.
Amen. I'm not going to spend too much time tonight. It's very strange, Ashna. You were sharing about how that whole story of Joseph in the Old Testament. I was actually going to preach on that tonight, believe it or not, but I'm going to preach on that next Sunday morning, only for about 20 minutes because we're having our fellowship meal. But it's very unique that you would share that. Let me just share, just for a few minutes before we close off our service tonight, just a verse. I feel bad for some of the people that were here on Thursday night. They heard this little devotional that I shared at the Christmas banquet, but I'm just going to share just a few thoughts from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Let me just share that verse, read that verse, and just share one or two thoughts from that text. 2 Corinthians 9, 15, which speaks of God's great gift, and it says, Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Thanking God for the great gift that He's given to us in Jesus Christ. You've heard the testimony of two people tonight who've experienced that great gift of God in salvation. So we thank God, the Bible says, thanks be to God for His inexpressible, indescribable gift. Two questions I want to ask, and the first question is this, why should we give thanks? Why should we thank God for the gift of Jesus Christ? Why? Why should we do that? Why give Him thanks? Well, there's a number of reasons. In Christ, you and I have received the forgiveness of our sins. That is an amazing gift. Have our sins forgiven. You remember when David committed that great sin with Bathsheba, that great sin, that murdering Uriah, and he pens that beautiful psalm in Psalm 51, against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. This guilt that just broke that man's life, broke that man's heart, and he comes to the Lord. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken heart. A broken and contrite spirit, oh God, you will not despise. He cries out to God for forgiveness. And what does the Lord do? God forgives him of his sin, cleanses him of his unrighteousness. And then David pens this beautiful psalm in Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin the Lord does not count against him. In Christ, you and I have received the forgiveness of our sins. The accuser of the brothers, the devil, might point his his finger at us and accuses of our sins. And he does. The Bible says that the devil comes and he accuses the children of God day and night. But then the scripture says they overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They didn't love their lives even to the point of death. One of the greatest benefits we have as believers in Jesus Christ is forgiveness of sins. We should thank God because in Christ we have that forgiveness. Number two, we should thank God because in Christ you and I have eternal life. We shall never perish. That's what Jesus says. My sheep hear my voice. They listen to me. They follow me. And they shall never perish. The Lord himself has inscribed and engraved us on the palms of his hands. We have been adopted as his children. As the scripture says, behold, the manner of love the Father has lavished upon us. And you and I should be called the children of God. God's children. God is my Father. God is my friend. We have a home in heaven. I was sharing that this afternoon at the seniors' home when I was preaching there, that what a blessed hope we have. I've done all kinds of funerals. Funerals for believers, funerals for unbelievers. And the blessed hope we have as Christians to know that even though we grieve, we do not grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We have such a great hope as those who are in Christ. That to be absent from the body for us is to be present with the Lord. What a blessed hope that is, to know that in Christ I've got a home in heaven. Another great blessing of being in Christ we should be thankful for is that we have God's abiding presence. The scripture says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Jesus said, I will be with you even to the end of the age. We all go through hard times as Christians. We are not spared the trials of this life. We suffer just like everybody else does. We cry just like everybody else does. But we have God's abiding presence in our lives. And what a great hope that is. What a great joy that is to know that I do not walk through this life by myself. Like the Lord says in Isaiah, when you go through the waters, I am with you. When you go through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. The Lord is with us. And that is a great promise. That is a great blessing. We have God's perfect promises in Christ. The Bible says that the promises of God are yes to those of us who are in Jesus Christ. Every single promise of God in Scripture is yes for us in Jesus Christ. I can stand on the promises of God. I can know that God will provide every single one of my needs. That's why Jesus says, why do you worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink? Why do you worry about your body, what you're going to wear? Because you trust in God. Right? We can trust the Lord. God meets our needs. We have these great and precious promises from the Lord, promises that we can stand on. We have the blessing of God's sustaining grace. When you think of that picture of the Apostle Paul where he pleads with God to remove this thorn from his flesh, this messenger of Satan, he says, three times I beg God to take this thing away from me. But what did the Lord say to him? He says, no, Paul, I'm not going to take it away from you. Why? Because my power is made perfect when you are weak. And what does Paul say? How does he apply that into his life? The grace of God, the sustaining grace of God that is given to him in life's difficult times. He says, therefore, I will rejoice when I'm weak. I rejoice in my trials. I rejoice in my hardships because when I'm weak, I am strong because that's when I have God's sustaining grace holding me up. And how many of us have experienced that in the Christian life when you don't realize, where is this power coming from? How am I able to persevere? I should be broke and I should be in a thousand different pieces, but there's a supernatural power that's keeping me moving forward. I don't understand where it comes from. What is it? Is God sustaining grace in those times where, humanly speaking, you and I would fall apart at the seams, but God holds us up. That's a blessing that we have in Jesus Christ, this abiding presence of God, his indwelling spirit who strengthens us and encourages us and moves us forward. We have the blessing of God's precious word. His light, his word is a lamp for our feet. It's a light for our path. As we continue to study the scriptures, God speaks to us. He reveals his mind, his will for us. We have all these things. All these things are great blessings for every single one of us who knows Jesus Christ in a personal saving way. We have the blessing of the forgiveness of our sins, the blessing of eternal life, the blessing of being adopted as God's child, the blessing of a home in heaven, the blessing of God's abiding presence in my life, his perfect promises, his sustaining grace, his boundless provisions, his indwelling spirit, and God's precious word. You tell me if that is not an indescribable gift. It's a great gift. When I was a little boy, I looked forward to Christmas, and I remember this one Christmas. All I wanted for Christmas were these Rock'em Sock'em robots. Do you guys remember the Rock'em Sock'em robots? How many remember the Rock'em Sock'em robots? I wanted that so bad. I just wanted these. If you kids don't, you younger ones don't know what it's about, but man, I remember opening up this present, and there they were. I remember looking at the box. It was these Rock'em Sock'em robots. I was so excited. I've never been more excited, I don't think, as a kid in my entire life when I got this gift. I don't have that gift anymore. It's gone. Had it maybe for a few months and it broke. It's gone. But listen to me, guys. In Jesus Christ, these gifts will never leave us. I'm always going to have God's perfect promise. I'm always going to have His abiding presence. I've always got the promise of a home in heaven. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And guess what? I get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thanks be to God for that indescribable, inexpressible gift. That's why I should give thanks. Well, who should get that thanks? I should give thanks. Those are the reasons why. But who should get that thanks? Paul says, thanks be to who? To God for this indescribable gift. And let me just share five reasons with you why we should thank the Lord Himself for this indescribable gift. Number one, God should be thanked because He planned this salvation out for us. So the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. I should thank God. He is to be thanked because God is the one who planned salvation out from the very beginning. The Bible says, it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from this empty way of life that was handed down to you by your forefathers, but was the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of this world, but was revealed in these last days for your sakes. Salvation did not find its origin in the will of man, but in the will of God. He should be thanked, but He's the one that planned that salvation for us. He should be thanked because He chose us in Christ before the creation of this world. That's what the Scripture says. The only reason that I'm a Christian tonight is not because of me. It's like I was talking about this morning. What did Jesus say when He walked into Caesarea Philippi? Who do people say that I am? And some people say you're Jeremiah, some people say you're Elijah, some people you say you're one of the prophets, and then Jesus looks at His disciples and He says, who do you say that I am? What does Peter say? He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what does Jesus say to him in response? Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by men, but by who? It was revealed to you by my Father who is in heaven. I should thank God because He chose me before the creation of this world, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, to be in Christ. He set His love on me. We read it in that scripture tonight. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. That does not deny the fact that we need to preach the gospel to all those that are lost. We need to preach the gospel to all those that are lost. But those who come to Christ because God supernaturally calls them by His grace. God should be thanked because after He saves me, He continues to sanctify me, continues to make me more and more like His Son, Jesus Christ. I was talking about that this afternoon. Ann was there at the senior home when I was preaching this. I said, you know, when God saves us, He does not stop His work. He just does not justify us. He just doesn't cleanse us from our sin. His Spirit lives within us. And what does the Spirit of God do? He moves within us. He changes us from the inside out, conforms us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. When God starts something, you know what, friends? He finishes what He starts. It's not like us. We begin all kinds of projects that we never finish. The Lord says in His Word, He who began a good work in you will what? Will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God is to be thanked because He planned the salvation. God is to be thanked because He chose us. God is to be thanked because He continues to work within us when He saves us. And number four, God is to be thanked because He promises to preserve us and to keep us. Romans 8 verse 30 says, those He called, He justified. Those He justified, He has also glorified. I was in this office this morning at about 7:15 or 7:30 praying to the Lord, seeking His face. And one of the things I said to the Lord this morning as I was praying, I was saying, Lord, thank You so, so much that the only reason I will persevere in my faith is because You Yourself are divinely preserving me by Your grace. I praise God for that. Because if it wasn't for that preserving grace of God, I would not persevere in faith, and neither would you. We would quickly turn away, turn back to our sinful lifestyles, and we would fall from Christ. And finally, God is to be thanked because He never changes, and you and I can put our trust in Him. I read those words in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for His indescribable, inexpressible gift. And why should I give Him thanks? Because in Christ I have all the forgiveness of my sins, all these great blessings, and I should thank Him for all of these different reasons. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray that you understand these things for yourselves. Rejoice in this great gift that God has given you. And if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus in a personal saving way, I would implore you to put your trust in Christ. Let's pray. And Nathan's going to come up and lead. And then we're just going to, after Nathan leads in song, we're just going to ask those who are members at the end of that to stand. And we're just going to extend the right hand of fellowship to two people that will be joining us. So let's just pray. Father, thank you and praise you so much for your great love for us, your great kindness towards us that you've given to us in Christ. We thank you and praise you so much for the forgiveness of our sins. For all the great blessings we spoke about here tonight, we thank you for what you did in John's life, in Ashna's life, Lord, how you saved them, how you brought them out of their sin. We thank you for how you led Ashna, Lord, out of a Muslim religion into a personal relationship with a living Savior. We praise you for that. We do pray for her mother and her sisters, Lord, that you would bring salvation to their souls and to their hearts by your grace and by your Spirit and through your gospel. Thank you for John. Thank you for that foggy night that caused him to tremble. Thank you for your providence, Lord, in bringing that pastor to his parents' place. Thank you, Lord, for how you worked in John's heart that night and opened up his heart that he might put his trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for their two children, Father God. We pray that you'd bless them and encourage them and watch over them. And thank you, Father, that they are willing to choose to become members of this church. And for the rest of us, Lord, give us the grace to continue to persevere, trusting in you and rejoicing in you. We'll be careful to give you all the thanks and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.